Another episode here with the one and only Charles Kelly. Charles, we talked about Lady A. Now let's talk about T.O.
We're flipping the script.
We're flipping it now. I told you that I've watched your career from beginning to end.
Now we're trying to research. It's over. I love it.
There's so much to talk about. Your sobriety, was there a triggering moment that made you be like,
There was several. I mean, there was a couple of moments before I actually did, you know, put it down for good that I tried, you know, and I probably lasted a couple months one time until I started sneaking it here and there. I mean, but there was a moment where I had gone on this trip with a bunch of friends and my wife, it was like a couple's trip, and we went to Greece, and I had just a really big, like holy crap, this guy needs to go to rehab moment. And all my friends, everybody, I mean, I like ended up like getting in an argument with my wife, turning my phone off, staying out all night, you know, and then like I get back in the morning and she's like, I didn't know if you were dead, if someone took you, someone, you know, anything. Right. Like, and she's like, I can't do this anymore. You need to stop drinking or I'm leaving. And I was like, all right. You know, and it was like some people say, it's like this weird, like sigh of relief. Like, okay, this was the moment. Cause I would tell people, like some of my close friends, I'd be like, something's going to happen. That's going to make me stop drinking, but it's not today. And so, and finally
it happened.
Something happened. And, you know, it's not an easy journey, but I will say it's been, as you know, I'm almost getting close to 3 years now. It's been the greatest thing I've ever done, especially for my family, but even for myself. I mean, I feel like my focus for a while, I feel like the way I was drinking too, it would just create a little bit of this self-loathing and disappointment just with the career and all these things. And now I feel like I've got this fresh perspective to like dream again and be like, you know, I'm only 43. I'm like, I got a lot I want to do and a lot I want to prove. I got a good balance now of being able to like spend as much time with the family and focus on that and then be really creative and kind of this like fresh outlook on life.
Right.
I'm not afraid anymore. Like before it was like, if something wasn't successful, oh, the sky's falling, right. You know, single didn't work. Oh, you know, and just now I'm just kind of like, hey man, you're still here. You're still doing it. And like, let it just take its little journey. And I don't know. I'm having these little tiny little wins with this solo career. Even it just, you know, the album hadn't even come out yet, but like our first single, Can't Lose You, it's top 15. It's top 15 at AC Radio. And I'm like, I never thought I'd have an AC Radio song kind of top. So we'll see. It's just been out like a month.
It's a smash. And it's crazy. It's crazy. We talked about this before. It's crazy to see that your vocals, you can literally touch any genre. It's with your vocals. You have one of the best vocals in country music.
Thank you, man.
And it's only fitting for it to take you.
Yeah.
Another genre.
Well, it's definitely, like I said, you know, after we first started the group, Hillary is her voice is what made us much more country. She's got a lot of little R&B influences though in her voice too, textures, you know, it's not as like traditional of a country sound as like, let's say, Ella Langley. And I always was much more in a southern rock singer,
right,
you know, but I got a little bit of that R&B, you know, kind of soul in there, Michael McDonald-esque type stuff, you know. Bob Seger's one of my favorite vocalists of all time. Bob Seger, you know, those guys, like Greg Allman, I worshipped those guys. So like, to me, I've always played in cover bands growing up. Ever since I was 12 years old, I used to play drums and we'd play in cover bands and I would sit behind the drums and sing. And, you know, we would do a Garth Brooks song. Then we'd go do a, you know, a Led Zeppelin song. Then we'd do Nirvana. Then we'd do Lionel Richie. Then we'd do, you know, like just anything.
What a
list. It was like R.E.M. And then we'd come back and do like Tim McGraw. I mean, so it was like, I feel like my musical influence is so across the board that, you know, my voice kind of did find its way in some different things. But what I'm proud about with this record is it still is me. It sounds like there is no
right.
put on voice in there. It's my voice. It's just under a bed of 80s glossy ass pop.
But you know what though? It's like with that, that's fitting for you. That's fitting for you. It's like, do you feel as though like you're showing your authentic self now?
I mean,
I'd say that you weren't doing it before.
Yeah, I was about to say it always has been, but I will say this is showing a side that is, this is one of my favorite genres, styles of music and times of music. I feel like, you know, that whole like yacht rock era didn't get its due until now. I feel like now people are appreciating how amazing. I mean, the chord structures, if you listen to like some of those Toto songs,
yeah,
the chord structures, the melodies, the, it's just, there's so much creativity in that stuff. And I don't know, it just felt like, it wasn't like I set out to do it in the beginning. We just started, I remember showing up to a write one the first day with like Josh Keir, Michael Whitworth, and Lindsey Rhymes, and who I wrote Can't Lose You With. And I said, man, I feel like writing like an 80s song. And Lindsey just started playing that synth part, and we were off to the races. And when I got done, I was like, I don't know what this is. This doesn't sound like it's going to be a Lady A song, or if we pitch this, but all I know is this is one of the most badass songs I've written in a long time. And that's all I knew. And so then it kind of started evolving. The next time we wrote, came back together to write, I was like, let's write another one of those. And so after a while, it was like, you know, I had 5-6 songs. It was like, I'm doing a solo project. And I said, I know that might not be what you want to hear, because anytime a songwriter writes to me, the last thing they want to hear is, no, this isn't for the band.
For the band. It's for,
you know. Yeah. They don't, that's the last thing they want to hear is, oh, I'm going to do this for a solo project. It's almost as bad as when they hear, oh, we should pitch this. Because, you know, they're going in there wanting to write a song for Lady A.
Yeah.
And I'm always doing that, too. I mean, even during that process, I wrote several songs that are, you know, that are in the batch that we're going to look at for the band. But it was just a fun departure for me. The timing worked out perfect. You know, Hillary, you know, is about to have her baby. So we were kind of taking a little time off anyways for that. Little did I know that my wife was going to get pregnant. So that timing. But it's just been one of those years where I feel like I'm in such a healthy space that I can handle it. And I think, you know, my wife probably would have been a lot more overwhelmed, you know, if she was also about to have a child and dealing with an alcoholic child. Because when I was off the road, I would drink on the road a lot too, but when I was off the road, dude, I'd be out on that golf course, you know, drinking. And then I think the thing I'm probably most disappointed about that I used to do a lot of, like, I'd be out on my golf course, I'd drink all day, and then I'd get in my car and drive back home. Wow. And that's when I knew something needed to stop. You know, and I remember I had a couple of times where I was like, I don't even remember driving home. And I'm like, I could have killed somebody, like, you know, much less myself. But if I killed somebody, I mean, how do you live with that? So it was just, I don't know, the best thing I've ever done. And it's just been a cool process, man. I've loved it all.
It's been crazy to watch. But this is not your first solo project.
Yep.
You had The Driver, mm-hmm. which I told my boss that I was going to be doing I'm missing a meeting right now because I'm interviewing you. And he goes, Charles Kelly? He didn't say Lady A. He just went straight to the guy who saves The Driver.
Ah, that's cool.
And I'm like, out of all the music this guy has released, you've picked The Driver?
You know what's funny about that record? I went into it thinking that I was going to have a little more success. So this is one of those kind of like things when you look back and you look at, because all I was used to was like, you put out a record,
right?
People, you know, and it was commercially not a very successful record, but like I felt like I made a really great record, and it was a really, you know, it was much more singer songwriter kind of Southern rock feeling. But I tell you what now gives me so much joy is like in this town, I'll have so many people come up and say that, and they'll be like, dude, that song Leaving Nashville. Or The Driver. And so
Lonely Girl.
Yeah, Lonely Girl. But like, it was one of those times where I was in such an unhealthy spot. Like, that was probably one of my peak like times of just like partying and drinking. And I remember being so like resentful that that radio didn't play it or all these things. And now I look back and I'm like, dude, did I have fun making it? Am I super proud? Is the music, you know, I feel really proud of the music.
Right.
And it's just like, you never know what it's going to do and how it will get consumed and react, you know, people will react. But I will say this time around, it feels different, I think, because this does feel a little bit more like such a departure from the band.
Right.
Whereas that one felt like, you know, okay, it's still has a similar feel where I feel like I can create a little bit of a different identity than the band with this project. But, I mean, if I'm, you know, being honest and open, it felt like it was a dark time for me because I was like, gosh, I made this project that I thought people were going to just eat it up, and it wasn't.
But it tells you that because I didn't know that. Or, yeah. Like, by many people,
but I was in such an unhealthy spot. Right. I mean, dude, when people come up to me like, dude, I love that record, I said, oh, you're the one that bought it. But you know, but then my wife reminds me, she's like, dude, we were nominated for a Grammy for the Driver.
Yep.
And so I don't know. I was just in such this like skewed view of the world where like everything had to be super successful. And I had this marker of, you know, Need You Now, Run to You, you know, Lady A, the success that we had, that if it didn't meet anywhere close to that, then it was a failure.
Now that you've gone through that, have you realized that there's a difference now between Lady A and Charles Keller?
For sure. I mean, there's...
Because a lot of people who leave bands, so they don't realize that their solo career is not...
It isn't.
It's not the same.
Dude, I remember reading one of the things I took from reading the Greg Allman book, because he also got sober really late in life, but he said he struggled a lot. He goes... You know, I went and did my solo career, and he goes, I would, you know, think that even with my last name, Allman, Greg Allman, he goes, and I would have a tenth of the amount of people that then we'd go get the band back together, and I go do an Allman Brothers reunion, and, you know, they don't even have a couple of members playing, and he's like, we'd sell out this massive, you know, arena. And so you do have to realize that when people buy into the group, they're buying into that thing and they want to see that thing.
And then they're not buying into
one person. And I know that. And I think that's the nice perspective I have now going into this, that this doesn't and isn't going to be.
Right.
I mean, I might be surprised and have, like, if Can't Lose You does something special, I can have, like, a nice little pocket of success. But I think my gauge for... what my level of success for this would be. I mean, even right now, I told my manager, I said, dude, we got a top 15 at AC Radio. I said, if we have a top 10, that's a win. It's just about little wins, you know, because I really don't care about, you know, I've paid for it myself. I was like, I don't care about making my money back even with it too. I literally want people to just hear it. I said, if people hear it, they dig it. And, you know, so far just even hearing like the town and some of the fans that have been, you know, soaking it up, I think they get where I was going with
it.
You know?
Right.
I had like a songwriter, Nicole Gallion, told me one time when I said, do you think I'm crazy? And I played her a couple songs. She's like, Charles, this is badass. And she says, I would have thought you were more crazy and full of shit if I heard you try to do like a bro country thing. She goes, then I would have been like, he's clawing for success. Like he's, you know what I mean? Like, cause that's not me. And I love that stuff too, to be honest with you.
So do I.
There's a lot of it I love. But, like, she goes, if you all of a sudden were, you know, singing, you know, come on, sipping on this girl and blah, blah, she's like, I would be like, all right, dude, that's just not you. So
I will look at you crazy, actually, if you did that. Because it's like, that's not what your vocals is for. God gave you good vocals. Use them right. Use them right. But, no, I mean, but so it's like, so after you... You've had that sort of epiphany about your life and about two separate careers. You know, what is your goal now for Charles Kelly? Not for
well, they're so hand in hand though. I mean, it's hard to separate them. I am so tied. My identity is and will always be so tied to the band.
Right.
My dream is that this can have some nice, solid success, and I can create a lane that when the band is not doing something that I can... Because I just love doing it. I could do it all the time. And I mean, that's the great thing about having two bandmates, too, that are such good... They are so, like, faith-based and so family-based that they even can slow me down and be like, no, we're not going to do, you know, 100 shows a year. I've got, you know, Hillary's the best at being like, I got to be there for my girl's, you know, graduation. And I'm like, for fourth grade? And she's like, yep, I'm going to be there. And I'm like, gosh, I should start, you know, being more like, we're
right.
And now I feel like all that stuff has really helped me kind of realize that life is so short too. And it's like, the success is awesome. It's great. But like, it doesn't need to consume you. And it did with me for a long time. I would live and die by our successes and failures. And so, I don't know, just being in that healthy spot, I think if this can have its lane, and then we can find our time to come at back together, well, we are to get, but I mean,
yeah,
make music,
yeah,
make this record, and it be something just crazy, just special, and say something. I think that's what we want to do. We want to say something too, because, you know, we're parents, we're older, there's just a lot, I feel like a lot going on in this world too, that I just feel like I want some positivity. I want something, some music that we make that says something and isn't just, you know.
Bring some music thing with some horns again.
You there know? You go. You want some horns again?
Some horns.
We might do it. We might.
It's like that was, we were never back when they did, but I feel like that was yeah, a time where it was like,
yep,
you guys came out with a fucking banger, man.
Yeah, and it was fresh. It felt different.
Fresh.
I think that's the key. You just need to turn heads. And so that's my hope, is that we can be unafraid to turn heads. And I mean, we've already been making music. We're making some more Christmas music to add to that. And that'll be, you know, coming out and rolling out this year. And then really next year is just going to be just really, I think, gearing in and making more music. And, you know, what's going to be fun is to see, you know, what the solo record will be doing at that
right,
same time.
Right.
And I think that all rising ships, what's that saying?
Rise together?
I don't know.
I
mean, when Hillary had that amazing Christian record, and she had a huge hit with I Will, and I think it only helped, you know, bring even more fans into our show.
Well, that's like that's the same thing with Darius.
Yeah. Come on. I mean, he
Darius.
He single-handedly revived.
Revived Hootie.
Revived Hootie.
Single-handedly. Don't tell him that. Hopefully you're not listening, Darius.
Well, I love all those.
We don't want to get your head bigger.
No. Well, no. I mean, I think that's important. Sure. I mean, all that stuff helps, and it keeps the name and the brand alive. And I know all those guys so well, and they're all so talented. I mean, that was when I first bought Crack Review. It was the most mind-blowing record. I tell them that today. It still babbles me that, like, if I could have told my, you know, 11-12-year-old self that I'd be, you know, best buds with Darius.
Yeah.
I would have said best buds with Hootie. And he's like, I'm not Hootie. I'm like, you're always Hootie to me.
I heard a story. Now I'm going to ask you, because okay, if I ever had him on here, I was going to ask him. And you tell me if this is true or not. I'm not going to name the bar.
Okay.
But there was a story going around town at one point that there was a certain bar that would not allow him in because he didn't have his ID.
Oh, that's funny.
And you and Dave were with him.
I was. It was Red Door.
Red Door.
Red Door.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. They were like, sorry, we could get shut down. I said, I'm pretty sure if the cop comes in here, he's going to know. I was like, I mean, like, I will say Darius looks a lot younger than he is, but he definitely looks over 20 damn one. He doesn't age, though, man.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't. He's got such a infectious energy to him. Sometimes he can be a little curmudgeon on the golf course. When we were touring together, the only time I'd always be, we have on the golf course, like 5-6 holes in, I'm like, everything okay, buddy? And he's always just like kind of tired. And then literally he gets off the golf course, he takes a shower, and then my showtime, it's like, there's my boy, there's Darius again. And he's like, he lights back up, but he's funny though, man. When he's in a good mood, there is nobody more fun to be around, ever.
I've been around him.
Yeah,
I've been to a wedding and he was there.
Yeah, was he curmudgeon-y?
No.
Okay.
He was like.
Yeah, he was on Darius.
He was on Darius.
Yeah, you got. He's gets his. I think on the golf course, it's like a few people. He's like, I don't have to be on, yeah. And he just was. You know, sometimes he gets his little quiet self, and I'm like. I'm like, I'm not used to you being quiet.
He was all the day.
That doesn't surprise me.
You know, of course they played No Diggity.
He probably wanted to get up and sing.
He probably wanted to get up and sing, but he didn't, you know. But it was a cool hang with him.
Yeah, he's a great dude, man.
I'm glad that after all these years, I've actually confirmed that story.
Yep. Red Door. Yeah, I got, yeah. And honestly, in their defense, maybe they had just gotten graded or something the day before, but I don't think anybody was going to question.
Well, that's what I remember, because whoever told me the story literally said, Charles just said, "That mess is Hootie."
This is a Hootie. He hates when I call him Hootie, which is the worst thing to tell me, is because that's just going to make my ass do it. You know, especially if I'm out there on a golf course and you got a $100 putt, I'm going to be like, "Don't miss it, Hootie." You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad that's confirmed. I've been like,
it is confirmed.
You know, you hear stories like that, and you're like, that didn't happen.
Yeah,
there's
it did.
No way in hell.
Well, you know, it was their loss. We went over to next door to losers, and you know, and one thing Darius likes to do is spend money. He just threw his credit card down, and bought drinks for everybody. So
Jesus, I wish I was ordered a drink that night.
Yeah.
So when's the album coming out?
Album comes out June 25th. And so right now we're dropping two singles each month. So we've already had four songs come out. We got two more coming to the end of this month. And then the record will come out in June.
What are you doing to celebrate the album release? Are you doing anything?
Man, we hadn't talked about that. I have no idea. If we do, I just rehearsed with the band, because I don't know, you know, we're kind of waiting to see, like, you know, if we can confirm some TV and stuff. But my team does want to do like a release part, right, a release show.
I got the perfect place.
You do?
I got the perfect show.
What show? And
so I host a show called National Underplay.
Oh, okay.
I'm pitching it right now.
All right.
Okay. You come on out. This is a new body. We got an outdoor stage.
Oh, hell yeah.
And an indoor stage. So in case it rains.
Yeah.
You put you inside.
Yeah.
All right. Out there with the band.
All right.
Maybe bring some friends along.
Well, you know what we did think would be a fun idea, too, because, you know, again, so much of this record is like 80s. It's got some yacht rock stuff. We're like, I tell you what would be really fun is if we do a album release, sing some songs, and then do like karaoke with Charles, you know, and get up there and do
that
some.
That would be cool.
You know,
that would be cool.
You don't know me, but I'm your brother.
Or you bring out the what was it?
Dick Fantastic.
Dick Fantastics.
We got hired for like a private party.
No.
Someone had heard about us, and I said, "Man, I said I'm gonna throw you out a number that makes it worth it, because it's a lot of work
it's
to
a
put
lot.
It. It's yeah. a lot of work. We yeah. got to rehearse. It's not like it's like brushing up on Lady A songs. It's like putting together this, you know, set. And we have a slamming ass band, and you know these Toto songs, like all these songs are so difficult. And so we'll rehearse, you know, for a few days. And so they are pulling the trigger, and we went down to New Orleans and did a show, and now they want us to come to Idaho for another thing that they're putting together. And I was like, I said, who would have thought this joke? So just for those listening, we had our bass player had this idea. He said, I've always wanted to start a band called Dick Fantastic and the Fabulous Foreskins. And I was like, and he's like, I don't even know what music we'll do. I just like the name. And I was like, I do too. And I was like, we got to do like 80s, you know, cover stuff. And so it's essentially like yacht rock review type stuff.
It's like yacht rock.
But we do know Diggity.
Yes, you do know Diggity. It's like, but it's your version of Hot Country Nights.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just,
we're rival bands.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys see the originals though. Like,
yeah, they're like 90s country. We're total 80s pop rock. But we do everything. I mean, we'll do like the Commodores. Then we'll do like, you know, remember like, I will walk 500. And then we'll do like a lot of Toto and Bryan Adams. But it's fun. It's so fun. And
I've went to the one that you guys did, one of the shows you guys did at Third Lane Sleep.
Ridiculous.
Was very drunk that night, but
I think I was too. I look back at some of those videos and I'm thinking I'm killing it.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, I'm so pitchy. That's one thing my friend at Alice got Scoop was like, he said, the past 2 years is the best you've ever sounded. And I said, you know, probably there's a reason. I'm not drinking. I mean, one or two is fine, but when you're drinking, you know, I was making these whiskeys and I'd be like, oh, I've only had like two drinks. Well, they were solo cups of like three or four shots of whiskey. Oh, two of them, and then I go on stage. So I've essentially had eight shots of whiskey before I hit the stage. So it was, you know, that's gonna make you sing a little bit off, but it was fun. I mean, I honestly, people always ask me, I regret some behavior and different things I did, but everything leads you on this journey, and I had a great time. I had a great time in my drinking days until it stopped being fun.
Yeah,
because the last 10 years, it was not fun anymore. You know, I had a great time. I never would have had the balls to walk up, you know, and ask Hillary to come over to write a song with us. And I wouldn't have so much. I wouldn't have probably met my wife if I hadn't have been in a bar. You know, I mean, so it's like all these things kind of, they're part of my story in my life. And, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with going out and having a good time and drinking. I just took it to the next level. That's when you know if you're having more bad mornings than good mornings, then it's
I've realized I'm starting to slow down myself.
It's hard to recover, man.
It's hard. It's as you get older, it's hard to recover. It takes like 2 days to recover.
Easily.
It takes like 2 days to recover. And it's like, so now what I've learned, I've knocked it down to 2 days a week.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. So I'm not going cold, but like knocked down 2 days a week. But then my Sundays is the second day of the week that I do it. But Sunday, if you do Sunday fun day, you get home by like 7.
And take it and you're good.
Eat and go to bed by like 9.
Perfect.
You're perfect. You're perfect next morning.
Yeah. The problem is I would have a Sunday fun day and that would be my plan.
That would be your plan.
And then like a lot of people are like, man, drinking made me so tired. I was like, dude, it made me ready to rage. And then I'd be like calling my buddies like, who wants to go to Losers, you know?
Yep.
And nobody wants to see some, you know, 43-year-old married guy going to Losers.
You'd be surprised. You would be surprised.
I bet. You would be surprised. I would be. It was so funny, too, now looking back. Like, I bet you, I don't know anybody in there now. I used to go in that place, and it was like everybody. All the songwriters. Did you? Yeah, I was going to say, I bet you it's.
I know no one.
All these young hot kids that, you know,
that I can't get because I'm too old. It's okay, it's all right. I'm only 35, guys.
Hey, me too old.
That's that. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. But no, thanks for taking the time out your day.
This was fun.
This is fun. I'm glad we had a cigar.
Yeah.
I'm serious about the album release party.
Thank you. I think that's a great idea. We really haven't even gotten that far. We just been kind of like, you know, I'm just now putting together the band and rehearsing and kind of, you know, seeing what opportunities are coming up. But I do want to do something.
Is Slim in the band?
Oh, yeah. Slim's in the band.
Slim is probably one of the most badass guitar players.
He's a good dude.
In this industry.
He is. He's also just a great guy. He's our band leader. He's great. But we put together a couple guys that are in Lady A's band, but then a couple people that live in that yacht rock 80s world, like our keyboard player, this guy Palmer, he has every sound on his keys. It's unbelievable. And we got my buddy Brandon on percussion, and he's like adding so much layers. So we're going to get a saxophone player at some point here, and it's going to be fun.
Oh, that needs to happen. This needs to happen.
It's going
to
be fun.
Well, again, thank you for taking time out your day.
I enjoyed it.
I've been enjoying this. It's been great.
Always fun.
Always.
Great to reconnect with you.
Always. This has been Charles Kelly on Smoking Section Podcast. See you guys later.